Atlanta some years ago, a leading pornographic entrepreneur was on trial. And it was interesting as I tracked the newspapers. It was my first exposure to living in the South. And of course, basically, there's an undercurrent of church life that runs in the Southern culture. And here was this pornographer being tried in the courts. And it was very interesting how the newspapers were covering it. The lawyer defending him and interviewing potential jurors said he was not going to allow any member of a church to be on the jury because the church member would automatically be prejudiced against his client. So it took weeks before they could find a jury. And they got the jury set. And this lawyer was brilliant in the way he quizzed the witnesses against his client. When they were describing all that was going on, which even some who were in favor of the world of pornography, generally speaking, described what this man was doing as a perversion of perversion, too crass to be allowed in for public consumption. The lawyer brought these witnesses onto the stand, and his questioning ran in the following fashion. Have you ever been to an art gallery? Yes. Have you ever paid to go into an art gallery? Yes. Have you ever paid to go into an art gallery where you have seen painting by the grand masters of art? Yes. Have you ever entered one of those galleries where you have paid to enter, where there are also on the walls paintings of disrobed or nude people? Yes. Will you tell this jury why you call that art and why you call my client's stuff pornography? He had him. I remember looking at that and saying to myself, how do you respond to that? Now, you obviously can't in a witness stand get into a philosophical dialogue on what constitutes perversion and what is aversion, what constitutes art and what is a profanation of it. The benefit of the doubt that the artist has portrayed it thus purely for the sake of some aesthetic reason, and certainly the paint and the brush or whatever it is are not going to scream out at him and tell him not to do this. But when a woman is disrobed by the purveyor of this kind of stuff that I'm talking about, and her body is used purely to stimulate the baser instincts in some individual who's going to buy that stuff, only under the illusion that he is going to be satisfied by the titillation of it and somehow fulfilled by the thrill of that visual picture that'll haunt his imagination and park itself in his memory, who knows, to do all kinds of ravaging in the years to come. But when the subject, here the woman in question, sits in front of that purveyor of this material, something within her ought to scream out as she covers herself to say, don't do this to me. But secularization, when it has done what it will do inevitably, will leave us as a society devoid of a sense of shame. You show me a society without shame, and I will show you a society that is flirting with hell. You cannot, simply cannot, build a culture where nothing is shameful anymore. Lewis said this in one of his books. Don't you remember on Earth, there were things too hot to touch with your finger, but you could drink them all right. Shame is like that. If you will accept it, you will drink the cup to the bottom. You will find it very nourishing. But try to do anything else with it and it will scald.